Excited about this. This is something that Brother Clint and I have been talking about for some time. Parenting. Families involved with their kids, the church, what is its place? And some of you that have been hearing about the parenting conference coming up saw the title of the first session, and I had a few people comment to me just what, you know, it kind of took them back. Why the church should not be your child's primary spiritual influence. Some people have thought, wow, that doesn't sound right. Church should be. Well, I want to share some things with you today that I know that I personally have seen being involved as a teen pastor, having three kids of my own, knowing many children that have come up through the ministry here at Crossroads. You know, majority of today's churches are full of children and youth ministries. You go to a church anywhere, it doesn't matter how small or how large the church is, they have a ministry for children. They have a ministry usually for teens. And they always have, hopefully, a nursery. I know a lot of times parents will look for the nursery to be able to have the kids there while they're over in the church service. But parents view, or the children in the youth ministries, which parents view as the key to their child's spiritual growth many times. A lot of people think that, you know what, the church will equip my children. The church will teach my children God's word. The church will teach my children godly principles. But if that's the case, here's what I want you to see this morning. The statistics reveal that something's not working. If the church is the one that's to be the influence on a child's spiritual growth, something's not working. I'm going to read a couple of statements to you, and then I'm going to have some figures on the PowerPoint here in just a minute. But according to recent research, somewhere between 70 and 88% of Christian teenagers, this isn't just teenagers in general, Christian teenagers, children who have grown up in a church, have been going to church, somewhere between 70 and 80% of those teenagers stop going to church by their second year in college, or at least 2 years after graduating the youth group. 70 to 88%. That means 2 out of every 10 teenagers remain faithful to a church after graduation. To me, that means if the church is the influence of the spiritual growth, the church is failing. Something's not working. Over 80% of teens who claim to be born again don't believe in the existence of absolute truth in God's Word. Again, these are Christian teenagers, Christian young people who were being polled after growing up in a children's ministry, in a youth ministry. In a recent Barna survey, Barna does a lot of Christian surveys around the world and here in the States. And in a recent survey, they focused on finding out how many teens' beliefs differ from their parents. And this is where the parenting conference comes into play. When they went out and they surveyed teenagers who were growing up in Christian homes, and they asked some questions about the parents' beliefs and the children's beliefs, I want to show you what the results were found by the Barna survey. Number one, we see it says 63% don't believe Jesus is the Son of the one true God. That 63% of teenagers who claim to be Christian, growing up in a Christian home, the parents believed it, but the children, 63% didn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the one true God. 58% believe all faiths teach equally valid truths. Again, remember, these are kids growing up in church. 51% don't believe Jesus rose from the dead. And they polled about 100,000 kids. 65% don't believe Satan is a real entity. And 68% don't believe the Holy Spirit is a real entity. Now, parents, if the kids were growing up in a church that was teaching God's Word, and the parents knew the truth, and the parents believed these things, and the children didn't, there's something that's wrong. There's a problem. And so, what is it? What is the difference that needs to be made in order for our young people, our children, our teenagers, to have a vibrant, active faith that loves the Lord, that serves the risen, true Savior? Well, why has the church become a place for parents? And I think this is a question we need to ask ourselves if we're reading these statistics. We know that children and teen ministries are in all the churches. Why has the church become a place where parents expect their kids to gain the most spiritual understanding? Let me give you two quick reasons. One, Satan's greatest tool is deception. Satan will deceive people. And Satan has really effectively deceived parents And many parents have been deceived into thinking that getting their children to church faithfully will fulfill the responsibility to train up the child in the way they should go. In Proverbs 22:6, they think, well, hey, if I get my child to church, I'm training them up. I get them up there to the church, and the church will be able to teach them and instruct them. And then that way, the church will be the one that's responsible because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to try to train them up. The church will give them the materials. I'm not as good as they are. Many parents have been deceived. You know, the church has the professionals. I get my child there, I'll let them take care of it. When my car's not working, I take it to the mechanic. When my child's not working, I'll take him to church. It doesn't work the same way. It's not the same. A parent is just as effective in the life of their child. And in fact, what you'll probably learn by the end of the day, that you as a parent have the biggest impact on your child than any church or any youth leader or any children's director will ever have. I don't have the time, many parents have been told and lied to by Satan, so I'll leave it to the pros. And many churches believe that the bigger and the better the program for kids, the more families that they will attract, and the more the kids will have incentive to learn God's word. These are all deceptions that Satan has drilled into the minds of people today. Let me use the children's ministry and the youth ministry as a place to put my kids. They'll be safe there. There's other Christian kids there. That's a good place for them to hang out. A good place for them to find friends. Being in the youth ministry for 10 years, I will guarantee you that that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to make the best friends in that group. That's not going to be where they're going to spend the most of their time. And so these are both lies that Satan has been able to weaken the strength of the home because of the deceptions like these. The second thing, I think, is that the world system has pressured parents to find ways to better manage their time. You know, and I know people joke about it, but I have seen churches with billboards that have offered free services to teenagers during the week so that parents could have a night out. And I'm not against that. Parents should have time out together. But when the church begins to say, well, hey, just bring them and drop them off here so you can do what you want to do, the church has taken away something very valuable to that home. Children's church and teen groups have been seen by many as a free daycare. And parents feel that they're able to focus more without their children as distractions. Sunday school ministries were originally for kids only. Sunday school ministries actually started back in the 1800s. And they started in the 1800s over in England because parents were no longer able to equip and train their children in basic things, whether it was hygiene, whether it was just education. And so the church saw a need that these kids were being left in poverty, and they decided, hey, you know, we need to do something. And the kids were working Monday through Saturday. Many of the kids, 8, 10, 11, 12 years old, were working already around the period of the Industrial Revolution. And so the kids were not under the influence of their parents as much. The parents were working just as much. And so they saw Sundays was the only time that kids weren't working. And so, hey, let's bring the kids in. We'll feed them. We'll clothe them. Many of them didn't have much clothes, so they would give them clothes. And let's educate them so that they are smarter and so that they're more well-equipped for the future. And so they use the Bible as their textbook and then begin to educate them. And this allowed parents to do more what they needed to do on Sundays and also give more of their time to work. And so let's save time and leave our kids with the pros. It's kind of become a mentality even here in America. Hey, Sunday is a great time for me to put my kids somewhere so that I can get some more things done around the house or whatever the case might be. And parents, you may not be in that boat, but you know what? There's many times I know I have been guilty of thinking, okay, I'm glad the church is offering something for my kids so they can do that while I can go do this. And we have to be careful. These are lies that Satan has been able to use to undermine the importance of the home. So what I want to share with you this morning is not just why the church shouldn't be the primary spiritual influence, but why should the church be the primary support for spiritual growth in the home? See, the church is needed. And for me to stand up here and say, the church shouldn't be your teenagers or your child's spiritual influence, would basically say, I don't need a position here and there's no reason for me to be here. I'm not going to argue that so that I can have a position, but we do see in the Bible that the church has a vital role in supporting the home and encouraging the home and educating the home. Why is it that we should have the church as the primary support for spiritual growth in the home? Well, the number one reason is that we find in the scriptures that it's proven. And then also by life practices that it's proven that God has chosen parents to be the influences in the lives of their children. Parents are the primary influence in the life of their children. Two verses I want you to see here on the PowerPoint this morning. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. The context here is God and working with Abraham. And you see what he tells him. For I know him. God's saying, I know him, Abraham. What was it? One of the things about Abraham that stood out to the Lord? He said, for I know him, that he will command his what? Children. And his household after him. So God noticed that Abraham was a man that was probably different than many of the other men in the land. He was going to command his children. He was going to take the primary role of encouraging, teaching, and educating his children and the household. And he says, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So we see here in the very beginning, back in Genesis, that God has already seen that I'm using this man because he's going to be able to lead and guide and instruct his home and his children. Look with me at Proverbs 6, 20 through 22 on the PowerPoint. He says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law. Notice he says, keep thy whose? Father's commandment. It's the father who was providing the instruction.